We're going to take a look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and following, and then Shannon will give a brief ministry update of what God's doing in the world through Jesus Film. So again, we're so happy to be with you. So if you have a Bible, you can open it to Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And we'll just continue with the theme of missions and the harvest. But this is a familiar passage that you've probably heard before or maybe even thought about. But I'll just read Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38 in English. And then if someone would want to read it in Chinese, that would be great. So it says, and Jesus, this is Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Would someone read that in Chinese, please?
耶稣走遍各城各乡，在会堂里教训人，宣讲天国的福音，又医治各样的病症。他看见许多的人，就怜悯他们，因为他们困苦流离，如同羊没有牧人一般。于是对门徒说：“要收的庄稼多，做工的人少，所以你们当求庄稼的主，打发工人出去收他的庄稼。”
Thank you. As you look at this passage, I'm just curious, what do you notice or what grabs your attention?
The word that catch my attention is that they are harassed, you know. Mm-hmm. It's
Thank you, Levine. Anyone else? Yep, that's a really important word. They were harassed. What else catches your attention or do you notice?
Need more workers.
Need more workers. Yep. Anything else?
The compassion of Jesus.
Yes, the compassion of Jesus. Very good. Thank you, Ruby. That's really, really important. In fact, that's my second question. So Ruby answered it a little bit already, but what do we notice about Jesus in this passage? What do we learn about Jesus? He's compassionate. What else?
In the verses 37 said, then he said to his disciples. So he asked his disciples to do something.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What did he ask his disciples to do? Or what did he tell them they should do?
to pray that the Lord will send more workers.
Yes. Yep. That's exactly right.
Jesus shared his compassion and vision to his disciples.
Yep. Yes. Very good. What else do we learn about Jesus? Very good. Anything else? Well, I'll just share a few things. Thank you for sharing. I appreciate it. I think the first thing that we learn about Jesus comes from verse 35, and we actually learn a lot about Jesus in this one verse. It says, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. The first thing that I think we really learn about Jesus, and it continues in verse 36, when he saw the crowds, Jesus was around lost people. He was around lost people all of the time. And I think about my life. I have a Christian bubble. And being new to the States, we don't have a lot of friends. But it just strikes me that Jesus was with the people he was trying to reach. And it says what he does with lost people. It says that he went into their villages. He didn't make them come to him. He went to them and he taught in their synagogues, proclaiming the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. We see that Jesus was with lost people and he not only met their physical needs, it says he healed them. Jesus was concerned about their physical needs. But even more importantly, he was concerned with their spiritual need. And it says he proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom to lost people. This was both Jews and Gentiles. It says he was in the synagogue. So even at this time, Jesus was focusing on Israel. He was focusing on men and women who should have known about him. Remember, they knew the Old Testament. They knew a Messiah was coming. So he was reaching out to Jewish people, but he reached out to everyone when he was with lost people. And it says he proclaimed the gospel. Now, it's really interesting. We might wonder, what was it that Jesus proclaimed? What was this gospel? And we actually know so often when it says that Jesus proclaimed the gospel in the New Testament, it takes us, the cross references to Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 said, now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. And verse 15 says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. What it means that the kingdom of God is at hand is that the kingdom came near. And not only that it came near an idea, it came near through Jesus. Jesus left heaven, he left glory, and he came near to people, that people could know him, believe in him, repent. Jesus was the physical manifestation of God incarnate with people, and he was with lost people. He met their physical need, he met their spiritual need, and he proclaimed to them that he had come near and they could know him. And I'm not sure who it was, but the next very important thing that we learn about Jesus is in verse 36. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. I don't know how lost people affect you, people who don't know Jesus, but a lot of times when I'm with people who don't know Jesus, I get kind of annoyed, or I think if they only believed in God, their life would be better, or why don't they just change? Often my attitude towards lost people is not kind. It's actually my attitude towards lost people can be condemning and harsh. But we see that when Jesus was with lost people, remember, he was God of the universe, holy, perfect. When he was around lost people, he had compassion on them because they were helpless like sheep without a shepherd, harassed. I think that was you, Liebing, who said they were harassed like sheep without a shepherd. That Jesus had compassion on them, in the Greek, it means that he was moved in his stomach. He had a physical response to their lostness in his gut. It was as if he felt for them. He was very gandong for these lost people. And he felt for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, I grew up in a farming community. I don't know how many of you grew up on a farm or if you've ever been around farm animals, but sheep are dumb. Sheep are like the dumbest animals there are. You can tell them what to do. You can teach them what to do, but sheep always want something better. They get lost. They need help. They constantly need a shepherd. And this is what Jesus said lost people were like. They are in desperate need of a shepherd. When he saw the crowds, he said he had so much compassion on them, and he felt like they're searching, they're looking, and they don't know him, and they need him as their God. And so we learn about Jesus. He was with lost people. He cared about lost people. He met their spiritual need, and he realized that they needed an answer. They needed him. And then Ruby, you were correct. It's really important in verse, one of the others of you also mentioned, I don't know who it was, that Jesus had something to tell his disciples. Very important. And in verse 37 and 38, we see what Jesus tells his disciples. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Jesus and his ministry at earth and today to us as his church is reminding us that the harvest is plentiful. Do we believe that? Do we believe that God is at work and that God is drawing men and women of all nations to himself? The same compassion Jesus had in his earthly ministry, he still has for the lost. And will we be some of those workers? Will we believe that if we labor with Christ, the harvest is plentiful? And Ruby, you were exactly correct. The command in this verse that Jesus gives to every believer is not to go per se, not to be involved in ministry. The command that Jesus gives to his disciples and every believer today is to pray for laborers. Does that mean we don't have to go? No. But I think Jesus calls us to pray for laborers because as we pray, our hearts are softened and he can speak to us. Maybe we begin to think, Lord, you promise the harvest is plentiful. Maybe I'm one of the laborers you want to use right here. May it be in Peoria, may it be in Illinois, may it be in another country. Jesus commands his disciples then, and us as disciples now, to pray for laborers for the harvest. Jesus has an awesome mission, an awesome gospel, the ability to transform lives, and he asks us to pray and be obedient that there will be laborers for this great harvest. Now, an important question is, what type of laborers did Jesus himself send into the harvest? And sometimes I think we have, a missionary is this type of person. They're a phenomenal Christian. They're a superstar. But we actually see in Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, the type of people that Jesus sent into the mission himself. So I will read it in English, and then James, if you would read it in Chinese again when I'm done, that would be great. So Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. And he called to him 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits and cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles were these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, a tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. James, would you read that, please?
耶稣叫了十二个门徒来给他们权柄，能赶出污鬼，并医治各样的病症。这十二使徒的名，头一个叫西门，又称彼得；还有他兄弟安德烈、西比泰的儿子雅各和雅各的兄弟约翰、腓利和巴多罗买、多马和税利马太、亚勒菲的儿子雅各和达泰。 奋锐党的西门，还有卖耶稣的加略人犹大，耶稣差这十二个人去，吩咐他们说：外邦人的路你们不要走，撒玛利亚人的城你们不要进。Oh,
that's good. Thank you. I told you to read too far. Sorry, James. But those are good verses too. So the thing that, as I look at this passage, the type of people that Jesus put in the harvest were normal people. If you look at this, the 12 apostles, they're called brothers, fathers, they're called husbands. He put men and women into the harvest who were normal. And if you look at Matthew, Matthew was a tax collector. He had one of the most hated professions in society. And yet Jesus called him to serve him. And I think today the type of people that Jesus is calling into the harvest are sisters, brothers, wives, husbands, men and women who will follow him and serve him wherever they go. Remember, most of these men were actually uneducated. They were fishermen. They weren't the most educated. They weren't the best Jewish people around. They were normal people that Jesus called into this amazing harvest. So I hope this morning that as we look at Matthew 9, 35 through chapter 10, 4, we're encouraged that Jesus still today says the harvest is plentiful, that Jesus today is still calling us to pray for laborers to go into that harvest, and that Jesus is sending normal men and women to the lost who desperately need him. I hope that this passage is both an encouragement and a challenge for us. And so we want to take an opportunity right now to just give you a brief ministry update of what God is doing through our ministry. And my lovely Ty Ty Shannon is going to come and do that, to just share a little bit of what God is doing in the world through the Jesus Film Project. And we will have questions at the end. So if you have questions at the end, please ask. I'll share my screen with you so you can see this little presentation that we have. So Shannon's just gonna share a few stories. There we go.
Thanks.
Yep.
Mm. Okay, I'm ready. Good morning. 早上好. I'm very happy to get to share with you this morning. 我今天早上很高兴可以跟你们分享关于我们的施工. So I'm not going to speak both languages the whole time. My Chinese has gotten a lot worse, but I will share in English some of the updates of how God is using the Jesus film around the world currently. So I know last summer we had a chance to share with you some of the updates of just about our ministry in general. So today we're just going to share a few stories, maybe hoping they will encourage you to hear how God's at work in different parts of the world. So, oh, by the way, I'm Shannon. I think Nate already said that, but your church has been supporting me since I think 2004 or even before that. So 2004. So anyway, before I met Nate, before we had Eloise, before many things, your church, I already met your church. So it's great to be with you this morning. So here on the screen, this is the first story I'll share. There's three stories, but here on the screen, the man with the white hair and the white clothes and standing up in the front, his name is Bill Wolf, and he is a coworker with the Jesus Film. And here in this picture, there are several men on the floor that you can see. And these men are all from different countries in the Middle East. And they are learning to use the Jesus Film to share with people in villages and in remote places that we say are off the grid. They might not have some of the modern things that we're used to in some of the places they want to bring the film on small projectors. But here they are learning about how they can use a Jesus Film to share the gospel with these people that they want to share with. So I'm going to share an update from that the ministry that we are partnered with sent us after they went out to share the film after they were trained. So this is what they shared with us. I'm just going to read it. They showed the film 20 nights in a row in an empty field before anyone came. They just kept praying and believing God, and finally a crowd gathered. These people are so far off the grid that when animals appeared on the screen, they pulled out their rifles and started shooting at the animals because they thought they would have dinner. Crazy story, it's true. And so the film team had to find a new screen to finish the showing. The people who watched the film said, "This is supernatural because we shot these animals and they didn't die." Then they called their friends to watch the film. And after they watched it, they said, "This is the Son of God." They turned from Islam and asked the team to show the Jesus Film to their relatives and friends in other villages. And so this story illustrates one of the focuses of the Jesus Film, which is to go to those that we would call the least, the last, the lost in the world, those that are sometimes considered forgotten people, but we know God has not forgotten about them. And so this is one story of how God has used the Jesus Film in recent times. I think last time we shared with you all, we asked if anyone was familiar with the Jesus Film. And I think there were quite a few people who had heard of it or maybe even seen it. But Nate and I often would use the Jesus Film in Mandarin when we were in China. And so that was our first personal experience with the Jesus Film. But yeah, just all these, there's so many stories about how God is using this film to share with people in their heart language about who Jesus is all around the world. The second story I'll share just about how we use the heart language to share with people groups, the language that people grow up learning on their mother's knee, the language that we normally would dream in or we would think in or pray in. So here you can see this group of people sitting on the ground watching the screen. And this is a premiere of a Mayan dialect that had been translated, they had finished the translation and were showing it for the first time. This group of people is a Mayan people group. They are in Mexico and they are seeing it for the first time. No one in this language group has ever heard the Jesus Film in their own language up until this point because it is just finished being translated and dubbed into their language. And so a big group gathered. And so in open countries, this is the way, one of the ways the Jesus film is used. It's used, they project it on a larger screen and people can watch from both sides. And usually they'll try to gather as many people from the area, the people group as possible to be able to come watch the film. And for many people groups, maybe there's no other film in their heart language that's ever been made. And so they are quite interested to see this a film, even though maybe they don't know much about Jesus. Maybe they know a lot about Jesus, but maybe they're already, some of them do know Jesus. For some people groups, that might be true. But for a lot of the people groups that we are currently translating the film for, there are very few or maybe zero known believers in the whole people group. So when the voice actor who you see here in the screen on the left, when he was working with our Jesus film staff, Noah is his name, and he's the taller guy on the right. Here they are in their makeshift recording studio. And as he was helping with translating the film into this Mayan, one of the 15 Mayan dialects, he said, "Thank you for taking us into account. Thank you for seeing us as special and unique. And thank you that you realize that although we can speak the trade language of Spanish, whether it's the Mayan people groups that live in Guatemala or the Mayan people groups that live in other places in Central America, such as Mexico, thank you that you know that that's not the language that speaks to our heart the most." And so just again, the importance of heart language. When we hear important news, it has the biggest effect on us. It has the most deep ability to for us to understand and to be able to really receive that information. And so yes, this is a second story of just how God uses heart language to speak to people through the Jesus film. More so than the trade language of, you know, Guatemala and Mexico, which is Spanish or English, something that some of them might may know. It just has a much deeper effect. The third story I'm going to share is here in this picture. This man is named Andreas Suther, and he is a German citizen. He came to the US and learned to fly airplanes. And then he went back to Germany and he was part of the German Air Force for 20 years until he retired from that and began to help with aerospace engineering in his country. While he was serving in that way, he felt God calling him to start a ministry to reach out to the 1.4 million refugees that come mainly from the Middle East to Germany. And so what he and his wife do is, this is a picture of their team prayer meeting. And so they're here, they are praying for their ministry and their outreach. And if you look around on this picture closely, you might see that there are some men that may look like they come from the Middle East. And that's because these are men who have become believers through their ministry and have now joined them to reach out to other Middle Eastern refugees in order to share the gospel with them. So what they do is every week they'll go to different refugee camps and they will go there and say, hey, they'll bring a bus and they'll invite the people there to come join them to go to a German Christian church. And they very open with them. They say, come, you know, come to this church and you'll get to hear, see a movie about Jesus in your own language. And so many people will get on the bus and then they'll take them on the bus. They'll drive them to the church, a local church, and they'll have a meal with them. And so here on this picture, you see, there's just a group of people having a meal together. And so there's German believers dispersed throughout the refugees, and they're eating together, getting to know one another, chatting. And after the meal, depending on which language groups of people have come and joined them that week, they'll actually show the film in up to around four languages in different rooms of the church. And they'll show the film to the different groups so that they can hear the story of Jesus in their heart language. And here's a picture. So many of the people who come happen to be from Syria. And so here is a picture of a man from Syria who is moved as he watches the Jesus film, as he hears Jesus speak to him in his own heart language. And one Syrian man said, "When I watched the Jesus film, it was as if God came down and rewired my brain, and I finally understood who Jesus was and what he did for me." Sometimes the refugees will say that they've seen or heard part of the gospel, but maybe not the whole gospel, or maybe they know very little, depending on, you know, their own experience. But many people are getting a chance to hear the gospel in Germany through this outreach. And so not only do they hear the gospel, but follow-up begins the next day, because the buses will return back to the refugee camps, and they'll be able to come back to church on Sunday the next day if they want to continue to learn about Jesus. And even for those who come to faith, many people have become baptized and proclaim that publicly, that they believe in Jesus. So this ministry of Elijah 21, they do a great job of not only sharing the gospel through the Jesus film, but also following up those who are interested and baptizing those who become believers. And here is a picture. You'll see these three people. They are helping to lead praise and worship at the one of the outreaches that they're doing with Elijah 21. And I'm going to share a story that this ministry gave us as an update from some things that they've seen God do. It says, "Our team met a family who had a 19-year-old daughter named Zamira. During the evening, in a nice little room in a church, our missionary wondered why Zamira was so downcast and closed off, to the point that she didn't say a word for hours. Later that night, our missionary learned the facts. Zamira hadn't spoken a word in the presence of men for 4 years. When she was 15 years old, she and a friend were walking together near Baghdad when an ISIS car stopped, kidnapped the two girls, and immediately placed them into sex slavery. The women were passed around from fighter to fighter for 4 months. During this time, Zamira's friend was killed. Zamira, abused and exhausted, was at death's door. To squeeze the very last bit of value from her worn-out body, the fighters contacted her dad and sold her back to him at a very high ransom price. Now in Germany, Zamira and her family are safe and in the company of missionaries who wanted to show them a film about Jesus. They agreed to watch the film in their heart language of Arabic. At the end of the Jesus film, Zamira suddenly cried out, 'Jesus has called me. I'm going to follow Jesus.' To the astonishment of her parents, Zamira started talking to our male missionary. Besides her dad, our missionary was the first man she had spoken to in 4 years. It appears God drew Zamira to himself. Additionally, through the power of his gospel, Jesus set this deeply traumatized girl completely free. The horrific fear, which had hindered her for years, fell from her in an instant. When they witnessed Samira's response, our missionaries could only cry. I can't fully describe the love and greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ. What Jesus has done for Zamira, no one in the world could ever do." And if you look at the picture on your screen, the girl on the left, that's Zamira. And so now she's actually participating along with others to help bring the gospel to other refugees in Germany. So just an amazing life change story of the power of the gospel speaking to those from other places, or, you know, all different tribes, tongues, and nations. And so those are my three stories. And I think Nate is going to come and he's going to share the next part. So here he comes. He's with our daughter. So, okay. Okay. Thank you so much. I'll join back with Nate after and we'll do some questions and answers.
One thing I thought of as Shannon was sharing is, for those of you who don't know, the Jesus film is the Gospel of Luke from what Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke from beginning to end put in movie format. And so it's the most widely used evangelistic tool in the world other than the Bible. And so today the Jesus film has been translated into 1,913 languages. It's the most translated movie in the world. And it's used by the Jesus film partners with over 1,800 different denominations and church planting ministries to take the gospel. So let's see here. My screen froze. I'm sorry about that. Well, I can't share what I wanted to share because now my, let me see if I unplug it here. Well, until I get my screen working, I will just ask, are there any questions that you would have about our ministry?
I think you can stop sharing and then come back. Maybe the screen will come back.
There we go. Thank you. Let's see here. Okay, share screen. And then we'll do this, share. Can you see that again? Perfect.
Yes.
So some of you might be wondering, what is the strategy of the Jesus film? And as I just said, we partner with 1,800 different mission organizations and church denominations. And so what the Jesus film and our partners have identified is that in the world, there are 12 countries that have the largest populations with the least number of churches. And that if these countries and the people groups within these countries were reached, 75% of the unreached in the world would be reached. We would be that much closer to fulfilling the Great Commission. And so the Jesus film, along with our partners, we're committed to all countries and all languages of the world. But these are the 12 countries of focus: China, India, Indonesia, Pakistan. You can read the rest. Because if these countries where the gospel is scarce are reached, we'll be that much closer to fulfilling the Great Commission. And so Shannon and I are really excited because China is the number one country that Jesus film is focusing on. And since we serve there, we just have such a love for China that we're so excited to see new resources developed to reach Chinese in China, as well as the Jesus film and other gospel content material to be translated to see China reach. So over the next 10 years, these are the 12 countries that Jesus film will primarily be focusing on. And to give you an example of how God has used the Jesus film and our partners in the last 5 years, this is what's happened. 5 years ago, Jesus film and our partners got together and we set some goals to what we were trusting God for. And those goals were that in 5 years, 1.2 billion people would be exposed to the gospel. 120 million people would make decisions for Christ. And 923,000 churches would be planted. And from the beginning of 2015 to the end of 2019, through Jesus film and our materials and our partners using them, 1.6 billion people were exposed to the gospel. Almost 150 million people came to Christ, and over 1.46 new churches were planted where there were no churches before. And we are just so humbled and excited to be part of a ministry and to work with partners like that we work with who use the Jesus film to see God do amazing things. Remember in Matthew 9, I shared that God said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Truly, the harvest is plentiful. Imagine, you don't even have to imagine, but think about it. In the last 5 years, through Jesus film and our partners alone, that's not even the rest of the body of Christ. This is just through our partners in Jesus film. 1.6 billion people heard the gospel. 150 million people came to Christ. Churches were planted. The harvest is truly plentiful. And what those numbers equate to, which you can't see on the right, is that nearly every second in the last 5 years, someone indicated a decision for Christ through a Jesus film resource. That's what those numbers boil down to. But at the same time, two people died apart from Christ in that same second. So there is still so much work to do and so much that we're trusting God for, but we celebrate his faithfulness and how we are really being able to see firsthand that the harvest is plentiful as the gospel is translated into people's heart languages through the Jesus film and other evangelistic resources, and that churches are being planted. So that's just a little bit what we wanted to share with you. Some of you might be wondering, oh, so what is your role in this? So our role has three parts. Jesus film asked us to move to Minneapolis because there's already a lot of churches and ministry partners in the Minneapolis area. So to our partners of what God is doing in the world, as well as to share with them new projects that they might be interested in helping to support or pray for. The second thing that we do is we're on a team within Jesus Film that helps to resource Africa, Central Asia, and the Middle East with the resources that they need and that our partners need to share the gospel and to plant churches. And then the last part of our responsibility is to share with individuals and to mobilize them into Jesus Film through prayer, through giving. Maybe there's a church that has a missionary in one of those 12 countries and needs a Jesus Film resource, or they're serving with a people group that the Jesus Film isn't in. It's our job to help connect that church with Jesus Film and help them to see get the resources that they need. So we mobilize people into Jesus Film. And then once travel opens up, the last part of our job is we get to take people on Jesus Film trips to show the new Jesus films to people who've never seen them before. So we get to have the exciting opportunity to be with people who hear the gospel for the first time in their heart language. So that is what we are part of with Jesus Film, and what you all are helping with as you partner with us in ministry, which we're so grateful. Any questions?
Yeah, this is Rachel. I have a question. Sure. I knew this movie when I was first landed in Minneapolis, actually, in about more than 20 years ago, a lot more than 20 years ago. Then I wonder at that time, who started it before you joined the mission? Which group, people? I did watch this movie when I was in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. Just wonder, before you joined it, which organization was the main leader? Then how did it connect to you?
In Minneapolis, you mean? Or the main leader when Jesus Film started?
Okay. So Jesus Film was starting in Minneapolis.
No, Jesus Film wasn't started in Minneapolis. Jesus Film was started by Campus Crusade for Christ crew in 1979. So it's always been a ministry of crew, and our partners have grown over the years.
But you're not part of the Campus Crusade, right? It's probably just
we are part of Campus Crusade for Christ. Jesus Film is a ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ. So our main organization is Crew, but the ministry we work for is Jesus Film, which is one of the 79 ministries under Campus Crusade for Christ. So yeah, we're still Crew staff.
Okay, I got it. Because Crew is the short form of Campus Crusade. I got it.
That's right. Yep, it's a short form. And this was started in 1979 by Campus Crusade.
Okay, that makes sense. It must be the same organization when I was first.
And probably when you were in Minneapolis, it was a church or international outreach that used Jesus film to reach out to Chinese. Anyone can use a Jesus film. It's free to use. You can get it on your phone. It was probably an international ministry. But it's a ministry.
I'm pretty sure it was a missionary in similar capacity that showed us the film. Didn't have much fear at that time. Or reaction. Things have changed.
Right. And I know Shannon shared, and you sort of asked, but I'll just share. One of the reasons why we switched to Jesus film is because we used it in China. In fact, the first person that I saw come to Christ in China was at the end of the Jesus film. And now he's an elder in his church in Chongqing. You know, that was 15 years ago. But we saw firsthand the effects of the Jesus film and how it spoke to people's hearts. And since we wanted to continue to be part of a global ministry, we thought it was a great fit for us, since all of the focus of the Jesus film is international. Any other questions? Thanks, Rachel.
Yes, I do have a question. So if we go to YouTube and find a Jesus film, is that the right one or a different one?
Yeah, it probably is the right one. There are several different Jesus films. There's the main Jesus film movie, which is about 2 hours and 8 minutes. And actually, if you have a smartphone, you can download, let's see. Do you see that little flag app? You can download the Jesus film app on your Google phone or your iPhone, and you'll have all 1900 languages on your phone, but it's on YouTube. There's also the Jesus film for children, which is about an hour long, and it's kind of seeing the story of Jesus through children's eyes. And then there's a Jesus film, it's called Magdalena, which is primarily for women who are in honor and shame cultures, and tells the story of Jesus through the eyes of Mary Magdalene. It's still all taken from the Gospel of Luke, but told through different perspectives. So here, I'll stop sharing my screen a second. I'll go to YouTube and put the link in the chat.
So there's a chance we can select any language out of these.
Yes, if you download the app on your phone for free, you could watch any. So like see if this is the right one. Yep, this is the right. I'm pretty sure this is the right one. You can download it onto your phone. And if you work at a place with people of other languages or ethnicities, you can have them watch it in their heart language. Yep, all 1900 languages are available on your phone.
Thank you, that's amazing.
Yeah, as well as, and again, on the app, isn't only the Jesus film, there's the Book of Acts, the Gospel of John, Magdalena, and then there's a part that short films, which are just evangelistic conversation starters that you could use with people or send to people to get them thinking about spiritual things. So it's really a fantastic resource that you can use and also share with people. Any other questions? I'll share one more thing here then, and then you can continue to ask questions. So many of you already get our prayer letter, and some of you may not, but our big news is that after many difficulties, we've gotten pregnant again. And so Shannon is currently pregnant with twins. As you can see in the picture, baby A and baby B, we were shocked. We were super excited to get pregnant after having such a hard time having Eloise. But when they told us we had were having twins, we were super excited and super overwhelmed at the same time. So the twins are now, it'll be 14 weeks on Tuesday, and they'll be coming in early March. And we really appreciate your prayers for that. So that is our big news. And as Shannon shared, this church has been supporting her ministry and now our ministry for 17 years. And we are really, really thankful for your partnership. Thank you so much for praying for us, for giving. It's really because of churches and individuals like you who partner with us and give and pray for so many years that we can do what we do full time and be on the field. And we're so grateful. So thank you so, so much for your partnership. And we would continue to love to invite you to partner with us with the twins coming. We're currently in the process of raising about $500 of monthly support. And we know that the church partners with us. And we just wanted to put before you as a church, as well as you all individually, if there's anyone who would want to partner with our team financially, we would love for you to prayerfully consider that. It could be through praying. If you don't get our prayer letter, we send out a monthly prayer letter. And we'd love to have you get that individually so that you know how to pray for us. We send it through mail or via email, whatever you prefer. And we would love to have more people pray for us. And maybe for some of you individually, you're in a position where you could join our ministry team financially. We'd love to have you individually join our ministry team. Our prayer right now is that by the end of the month, we would see 5 new individuals join our team for $50 a month or some other amount. And so if that would be you, or if you would want to join our team and give $50 a month annually, whatever, $600 annually, whatever it would be, you can reach out to us. And so again, if you do not get our prayer letter, you can email me or Shannon. These are our email addresses. We would love to have you get our prayer letter personally, or if you would be in a position to give and would want to support our ministry, you could contact us. So we are really, as I said, super grateful for your partnership with us, and appreciate you inviting us to be part of the church service today. That's all we have.
Thank you, congratulations for you and Shannon, the baby twins.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, James. Yeah. I appreciate that. I'm going to be 44 and having twins. I feel totally overwhelmed. I thought maybe I'd be having kids in my 20s, but now I'm in my mid 40s. So thanks, James. I appreciate that.
God bless.
Yeah, thank you.
Questions or thoughts?
No, thank you, Nate. Yeah, with the baby born in the end of March next year, are your parents able to help you taking care of your newborn baby in order that you can concentrate yourself in your ministry, Jesus film ministry in the future?
Yeah, that is a great question. We are currently seeing how much help our parents will be able to give us when the babies are born. I'll have some paternity leave and stuff, but yeah, that is something you can pray for, just that we would have help. And after but yeah, it's something we're very concerned about, especially with twins. So I think they'll be able to help some at the beginning, but we don't know for how long.
Yeah. We know how to remember you in Thank you very much, Nate, for coming to share the message of mission according to the Book of Acts this morning, chapter 13. That's really helpful. And thank you also for the present ministries that you're in your hands. And also, thank you for sharing your prayer needs so that we know how to proceed supporting you anyway. Yeah, on behalf of the PCCC, I would like to express my heartfelt thanks to you
for coming,
sharing this morning. May God bless your ministry. Yeah.
Thank you. Anytime you feel, we'd love to be in person sometime in the future when COVID dies down. So we hope we can do that.
Yeah. Right. Hopefully. Yeah. One last question I have is that with the Jesus film played, of course it cannot be played again and again because, so is there any follow-up, gospel efforts as a that's a complementary to your Jesus film presentation?
Yes. In fact, for our partners who, like in the numbers we showed, that there's exposures and then there's believers and then churches planted, the Jesus film with our partners is not only a gospel exposure ministry. Our heart is to plant churches. So the people who are on the ground that use the Jesus film commit to show it 3 times a week for 3 years. And most of them are nationals in those countries. And so they stay. During those 3 years, they stay. And then when people come to faith, they follow them up. And even on the Jesus Film app, there are follow-up materials that you can use. And so part of what we do for our partners is also develop discipleship materials so that they can ground believers and plant churches. So that is a huge, huge focus of the Jesus Film, not only showing the film, but grounding believers in their faith through our partners who are on the field. So very seldom do we show the film if we're not willing to stay. And that's even in Muslim countries, like the stories that Shannon shared. Those believers are staying, they're dying for their faith and showing the film in closed countries. So great question. And it's the heart of the Jesus film to see the churches planted. So our partners in Jesus film staff commit to stay after showing the film.
Okay. Thank you so very much.
Yeah. Thank you all. Yeah.
That's quite clear. Clear as a bell.
Oh, good. Okay. Good.
Okay.
We appreciate the time. Thank you again. I think it was James who reached out to us on behalf of the church and the elders. And thank you truly for your friendship and partnership. We feel so blessed by y'all. So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Nate and Shannon. Thank you very much. Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Yep.
Yep.
That's all for me.
Yeah, Shannon, can you lead us for the closing prayer?
Yeah, here she is. Whatever you want to do.
Okay. All right, I can lead us in a closing prayer. I'll use Chinese, even though it's been a long time. By faith and by your grace. Actually, I shouldn't come up here. You'll hear. 主耶稣，感谢你今天早上给我们这个时间，可以一起聚，虽然不是面对面，但是还是在一起的。然后就是给我们这个机会去分享。 无论是你的话语还是关于你给我们的意向还有时光，也感谢你为了每一个弟兄姊妹，就是今天晚上，今天早上，一起聚会的弟兄和姊妹，感谢你这是这个大使命，不是给 superhero Christians, 就是给我们很普通的人，就是无论我们是信你多久，或者是我们的软弱是什么，还是对，就是你都知道，但是你还是呼召我们可以进入，可以participate in 你的大使命，这个是你带领我们每一个人可以知道我们。 要为你做什么，为你跟哪一些民族，或者是哪一些旁边的人，或者是我们的 coworker，等等。 Who do you want us to share with, Lord? Who do you want us to be a witness to? We ask you to make that clear and to give us the faith to do it, to be your witness in our own area, in the places near us, and in the places far from us. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, not only to us, and also to your mission throughout the world, that you will not be stopped, no matter what comes. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
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 Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.